Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I am Mike Spofford. He is Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Saturday night football, 7:30 Central Time at Lambeau Field, Packers against the Vikings. It's almost here. Our final show of the week, and that means keys to victory. We will start on the offensive side of the ball for the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, let's face it, pretty big underdogs in this game when you look at all of the circumstances surrounding it, where the Vikings are, where the Packers are. But this is the NFL. The Packers can win this game. How can they win it?
They need to win it on the ground. And I say that for two reasons. One, it's going to be about 1 degree outside on Saturday by all projections right now. It's not a warm weather type game.
No.
It's a ground and pound NFC North, NFC Central, your gritty blue collar type football game. And you need a running game to be able to pick up those kind of victories. Packers have two good backs in Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. And we were talking about this on one of the other videos that we were doing for our website. Packers ran the ball pretty well, actually, against the Carolina Panthers.
They did.
With the third-ranked run defense in the NFL. Another stiff test against the second-ranked run defense against the Minnesota Vikings. But I thought, if nothing else, Aaron Jones with his two explosive runs, Jamal Williams with his consistency, showed if the Packers need to live on the ground, they can do it.
Yeah, and I think there are certainly regrets that the Packers didn't run the ball more against the Carolina Panthers, and we don't need to get into whether it was Mike McCarthy's play calls or Aaron Rodgers' checks at the line. They're not going to tell us exactly what all went into that, and it doesn't matter. I think Mike McCarthy's been pretty clear that he wishes they would have run the ball more. It's one of those things that happens when you get into the course of the game. The success they were having running the football, they had opportunities to run it more. I'm going to take it a step further with regards to this game against Minnesota, and I'm going to say they need to get more explosive runs. And I say that because we saw what Aaron Jones did against a very top-notch run defense right in the Carolina Panthers. First two times he touches the ball, 23-yard run, 20-yard run. But the one time this year the Vikings' run defense has really looked vulnerable was just a couple weeks ago against the Carolina Panthers. Jonathan Stewart busted a 60-yard touchdown run. Tie game in the fourth quarter, Cam Newton busts a 62-yard run that sets up the winning touchdown for Carolina. If you can find that, if you can find that crease and hit it, you can make them pay. And I think the Packers are going to have to keep pounding the ball until they can hit some of those creases.
Yeah, and I think when you look at what the blueprint has to be for the Packers, not only in this game, but even going into Ford Field next week, I think it's to get those guys touches. And I'm not saying that just strictly from the standpoint of, well, that's the way this offense has to be run. I just think you want to learn more about Aaron Jones. You've seen what he can do. He's had the big games. He's had the explosive gains. Give him an opportunity to run the three-down offense a little bit more. See what he offers you in that capacity, trying to help him improve with his pass rush, or with his pass protection, excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a fine pass rusher, too. His pass protection, his pass catching out of the backfield. Jamal Williams, almost the opposite side. You know he's stout in pass protection. You know he's stout as a pass catcher. His opportunity to maybe get some more of those stretch plays, to maybe try to create some of those big opportunities. Packers have a future there in that backfield, and I think if one thing has really been established throughout the course of this particular season, it's that going into this offseason, that's not a position of need anymore. That's not a position
right
of questions.
Right.
They have Ty Montgomery coming back. They have those three young running backs. The future is bright in the backfield, and I think giving them an opportunity these next 2 weeks to really be able to evolve more is going to help them in the long run, and also those offensive linemen ahead of them, because when you look at David Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor, there's a lot of guys in that equation that'll be back next year blocking for him once again.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think with regards to Saturday night's game, we'd be remiss as far as a key to victory on offense if we didn't talk about protecting the football. Because
sure,
when you look at that first meeting with the Minnesota Vikings, Brett Hundley threw three interceptions in that game when he came in cold off the bench. Now, granted, the third one was in a desperation
right
mode, so that one gets a little bit of an asterisk. But the other two interceptions, they were big plays in the ball game. And this Minnesota Vikings defense, boy, they take it away. They can generate the momentum. They've got a very balanced offense on the other side that can make you pay. So Brett Hundley, we've seen the vast majority of his games, he has taken care of the football very well. It's going to be cold. The handling of the football will be tricky in a game like this, and Brett Hundley needs to protect it.
I think it comes back, Mike, as you said, to the times that they do turn to the air, you have to make those opportunities count. I don't see this, at least if it's, you know, things are going to go the Packers' way, I don't see this being a game where Brett Hundley attempts 35, 40 passes.
No.
That number, if you're the Packers, I think you want to see that in the 20s for the most part and see those touches and those runs in the backfield, you know, maybe into the 20s as well, almost one for one. But here's the thing. When you do turn to the air, when you do let it loose, making sure that you're protecting the football. And that's one of the reasons why I was so impressed with what he did against Cleveland, is because there were some big plays in that. There were some big plays late when the Packers had to have it that Brett Hundley came up really clutch, but also didn't do it at, you know, the risk of really putting the football out there and you know, risking an interception or a turnover. Yeah. So that's key. And I think it's key for every young quarterback to be able to make that turn, to be able to turn that corner and really start to hone their football game from there.
Yeah, really quickly. Given what Carolina did running the ball against Minnesota, some read option for Hundley Saturday?
I think
night?
So. I really do. I think, and we saw it with Aaron Rodgers. It stayed in the playbook to some extent. I think if you look at Brett Hundley's makeup, his skill set, what he's shown as a runner this year, that's a really key element to his game planning and his scheme. I think the Packers would be remiss not to have that in there, because there were some things they were able to do off of that, maybe when the play action game isn't always working.
Yeah, okay. Well, with that, we're going to toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spoffer right here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, continuing our discussion for keys to victory for the Packers on Saturday night against the Vikings, but shifting gears to the defensive side of the ball, where do you start?
I think it starts with Case Keenum, and I think it starts with pressure in Case Keenum.
All right.
We'll see exactly how this is all going to play out for the Packers. We'll talk about the injury report here shortly, but you know that Nick Perry is doubtful for this matchup. You know Clay Matthews is questionable. That's why when we were kind of for our final thoughts video, coming up with our, you know, who's the player to watch, for me it was Mike Daniels, because I think the defensive line in particular, a lot's going to be asked of them in this game. You have to stop Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon. That's a big responsibility in its own right. But also the inside pass rush, the interior pressure, if you can generate that with him and Kenny Clark and maybe get Dean Lowry in on that. That's going to be really important, because you know you're going to be seeing a lot of Kyler Fackrell and Vince Beagle. You know, Ahmad Brooks is coming off arguably his best game as a Packer so far, but still, it isn't quite Nick Perry and Clay Matthews when those two are healthy. Case Keenum has done a phenomenal job this year of really rolling with the punches and doing what he's done with this offense and keeping things afloat without Sam Bradford, without Delvin Cook.
Right.
But that being said, when you can get some pressure on him, if you can make his feet hot a little bit in that pocket, you have a chance. And I just don't think that was one thing in that first matchup the Packers were able to do enough.
Yeah, the Packers are going to have to find some pass rush on Saturday night because, as you mentioned, there's some injuries going on there. The Packers are a little thin. But I'll say this. When I look at, and I don't pretend to be able to watch all these other teams and all these other games because we're so focused on the Packers, but one guy that I was really impressed with this year at who you wouldn't necessarily think would be the scrambling, avoiding sack type of guy. The first guy on my list is Carson Wentz from the Philadelphia Eagles. But the next guy on my list that I have seen this year in terms of dodging sacks and keeping plays alive that you wouldn't necessarily think it's a big part of his game, it's Case Keenum.
It is.
That guy has ducked around some sacks and dodged tacklers, and he had a scramble, I think, for 20 yards against the Packers the first time they met, and he's just not a guy you think is going to take off and make a play like that. This guy, he's a playmaker, and he's tricky.
Yeah, he's scrappy, and that's what you need. I mean, again, you and I have discussed this. Case Keenum, I think, only comes in at about 6 feet, maybe 6'1". Not the tallest quarterback, not your prototypical type size for a quarterback, but one of the things that made him successful at Houston and is what made him successful in various parts of his NFL career is just how he's able to navigate that pocket and make plays. If you're 6 feet tall, let's be honest, there's a couple exceptions to the rule out there. You know, Drew Brees is probably one of them. But you really need to find ways to get out of the pocket and make plays. And the thing that's impressed me the most with Keenum is he's been able to do both this year. And I think that's one thing that he'd really been lacking in his stop with L.A. and St. Louis and Houston and some of the other – Houston as far as the Texans were concerned – is just really being able to make those type of big plays from the pocket. He's done both this year. Yeah. And he has a great safety valve in Adam Thielen. We know what Stephon Diggs can do. Kyle Rudolph, we talked about before, is consistent as they come. But if you can get him uncomfortable, if you can keep that pass rusher on his feet, I think that's going to be your best shot at this thing. And also, as I mentioned from the get-go, not letting that 1-2 punch in their backfield get going.
Yeah, and we know it's going to be cold. It's going to make things difficult, I think, in some respects to make plays in the passing game. But you mentioned his name, Adam Thielen. He came in here last year, right around this time, a Christmas time game at Lambeau Field. Now, that was a day game, and the weather wasn't necessarily the factor that I think it might be on Saturday night. But he came in here and had a 200-plus yard game against the Packers, made big plays all over the place, and he simply continued that now, making his first Pro Bowl this year. He's the Vikings leader in yards per catch. This is a guy, boy, you can't let him get loose.
This is the point I like to make, because sometimes I remember in the rookie orientation camp, I get emails, I don't know if you do, or Twitter mentions about, you know, why are the Packers looking at guys from UW Oshkosh, or why are they looking at, why do they have somebody in from UW Whitewater or Bemidji State? This is why. And this is, you know, they kept an open mind. I give Rick Spielman a lot of credit. We talk a little about Mike Zimmer. He deserves a lot of credit. But Rick Spielman, it hasn't always gone the way he's wanted to in Minnesota. They've had issues finding a quarterback. There's been times where they just haven't had the right personnel matchups. For them to build the defense they have, but also keep an open mind of the offensive weapons they've established, and they were patient with Thielen. This isn't a guy who just came in his rookie year and Anquan Boldened everybody, and oh, here he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he took him two solid seasons to get going, but now that he has, he's become one of the most dynamic players in the middle of the field in the NFL right now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because with Keenum, you know, you always try to maybe peg a quarterback to have, you know, that safety valve type of guy and whatnot. But when you look at Rudolph and Thielen and Diggs and McKinnon catching passes out of the backfield, Keenum doesn't necessarily have that guy that you go, oh, he's the security blanket. Right. Or on third down, he's automatically looking to that guy. Like you see with some offenses, he's an equal opportunity quarterback, and this Vikings offense is better for it.
It is. And I think that's one of the things that stands out to you on paper with this team, this offense, as opposed to previous years. And Mike McCarthy was asked about it on Thursday morning. The fact that the Vikings, for as much headlines as they get off defensively, their offense is top ranked in the top 10 in basically every category right now. That's a testament to Keenum. It's a testament to that offensive coaching staff and guys like Thielen for stepping up. The Packers, I mean, you want to give them all the credit in the world. The Packers have a tough test on Saturday, but this is still a winnable matchup, I think, for them. It's just that you have to be able to shut down all of those weapons and be able to keep that momentum going throughout four quarters. And something a lot of teams have struggled to do this season.
Yeah, you definitely got to limit the big plays because those are the ones that shift the momentum. Yeah. But with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, final injury update here for the week. You mentioned in an earlier segment, Clay Matthews questionable for the Packers at the outside linebacker spot. Nick Perry is doubtful. So Packers are going to need to find potentially some pass rush from some of their other guys. But there's also a pretty reliable soul on offense. He's played every snap this season at right guard for the Green Bay Packers, but he is questionable with a knee injury, and that's Jarry Evans. It would be a little strange to not see him out there, given how this season has gone.
Well, given how his career's gone, depending on how this plays out, I mean, Jarry Evans has missed 7 games in his NFL career. For those counting at home, 183 now is his current games played regular season right now, which is the most among NFL offensive linemen. I would imagine it's probably pretty high up there among all active NFL players, though, to be quite honest with you. It's impressive what Jarry Evans has done. Now, we'll have to see. He came out with that knee injury, a testament to him, We haven't talked to him, so whenever this happened, however it happened, he played through that game against Carolina without complaint with it. But we did see him in the locker room on Thursday walking around. He had one of those, you know, kind of like devices on his knee a little bit, trying to help with the healing process there. Great football player. I think Jari Evans has kind of been an unsung hero on this team this season in a lot of different ways. He is 34 years old. Totally get that, but he's also been incredibly durable on an offensive line that has endured an incredible amount of injuries.
Yep.
You have not had to worry about right guard. If for whatever reason he can't go, then you're probably getting Justin McCray in this one at that position. Been very steady as well, and I mean, now if he would play in that, that would be the fourth position that Justin McCray has played on the offensive line this season for the Packers, so that also would be pretty incredible as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And another guy who is questionable on the injury report is cornerback Devon House as he tries to come back from the back injury that he sustained in Cleveland. And I'll say this, Wes, that injury looked painful. And when I saw it happen, and with the way House looked and when he was carted off the field against the Browns and everything, I didn't think we'd see him back on the field again this season. That just that looked pretty bad. And I'll admit, he even walked past me on the plane, you know, before we took off from Cleveland to come home. He walked past me going down the aisle towards where the players sit in the back of the plane. He wasn't moving very well, and I couldn't help but feel for him. It was just man, he looked in so much pain and so uncomfortable, but he misses one game, and he's got a chance to get back out on the field. I say it a lot on this show. I give these guys a ton of credit what they put themselves through to try to play football.
Yeah, and I can't really – that injury that he has, I know it's something that a number of different NFL players have dealt with. It seems like it's something that in its heyday many years ago, it was something that could keep you out a month, maybe 6 weeks. But with some of the medical things now that they're able to do and the rehab of it, you know, guys can get back in 1 or 2 weeks. So, but Devon House, I mean, you gotta really tip your cap to what he's done this season. I know things have not gone the way people wanted for the Packers' pass defense, but Devon House has earned every single cent of his contract this year. He has put himself in so many different situations. You think about the quad injury, the hamstring injury he played with, the second week of the season, what he tried to do, gutting through that against Atlanta, probably setting himself back a little bit.
Yeah.
Gets back on the field, injures his shoulder against Pittsburgh, going down the sideline. The guy just continues to lay it on the line for that defense, a defense that has really been just completely embattled right now at that cornerback position.
Yeah, a defense that needs him.
Yeah, and the thing I really appreciated on Tuesday, he spoke with the media and he was asked about, you know, there's nothing more to play for. Do you really want to be out there again? And he said, hey, listen, a year ago when I was in Jacksonville, I dreamed of being back here. Why would I not play if I'm healthy? So we'll see if it's this week or next week. But Devon House certainly wants to be back on the field.
Yeah, he definitely does. But before we go to our break, Wes, picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Sub's, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment of the week, we like to take a look at what's going on around the NFL, particularly in the NFC. And the biggest one is in the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints at 10-4, hosting the Atlanta Falcons at 9-5. Really interesting here with this division race because the Saints have two victories over the Panthers, but they lost to the Falcons not that long ago. We just saw this game being played. So the Saints can put themselves in position to win the NFC South with a victory here. But the flip side is the Atlanta Falcons, if they can beat the Saints and then beat the Panthers in Week 17, I believe they actually control their own destiny and would win the NFC South with an 11-5 record. So a lot on the line here.
It really is, and I think it adds to it the fact that we did see this matchup like 14 days ago or whatever it is.
Yeah, deja vu.
It's Groundhog's Day again, people. But whatever it might be, as you and I were talking in our pre-production meeting, This is the reason why the NFL went to this, you know, closing on division games in the schedules.
Yeah.
Because you get this kind of drama. We've seen it for really the last 5 years in the NFC North.
Absolutely.
This year, it's been the South that's kind of been carrying the torch in this. And to be in a situation where all three of those teams are in play, not only for the division, but we're talking about first-round buys. We're talking about all these different variables that are in play, I think really adds to the excitement of it. And let's be honest, too, after seeing what happened in that game with Atlanta being able to kind of get back on the right track in that win against the Saints.
Yeah.
With the Saints now trying to turn them back and regain some of that momentum, a lot of different things to really take into account with this matchup.
Yeah, we could see all three of those teams make the playoffs in the NFC, but we also could see some things shake out a different way. So another big one in the NFC, the Seahawks against the Cowboys, two teams that are 8-6, basically like an elimination game of sorts, almost a de facto playoff game. The loser is going to pick up loss number 7, which pretty much will knock them out of the picture. The winner will be 9-6 with probably a shot at a playoff spot in week 17. The Cowboys getting Zeke Elliott back from suspension in their backfield, while the Seahawks very banged up on defense and coming off of what's probably the worst loss at home in the Pete Carroll era when they got pounded by the Rams last week.
Yeah, and it's tough for Seattle too because they kind of been rebuilding some of that momentum as of late up until that loss. Russell Wilson has really been the straw that stirred that offense. They do not have a running game right now. He's having an MVP-type caliber season. But quietly, Zeke Elliott re-entering the building in Arlington is, I think, one of the more unheralded storylines of this week, and seeing what he could do after 6 weeks off. They ran the ball okay, really relatively well with Alfred Morris the last couple weeks, but Zeke Elliott's a different type of football player.
Yeah, and in another game you wanted to touch on, Jacksonville at San Francisco. The Jaguars going to the playoffs in the AFC trying to improve their position, but the records don't tell the whole story of this one.
They really don't. This is my people's main event for week 16. I'm really excited about it. Air Garoppolo and the 49ers really turning the momentum around, one of the hottest teams in the league right now. In Jacksonville, as strange as it sounds, the top defense in the NFL, this is going to be a big challenge for Garoppolo, trying to continue what he's done in recent weeks against that unit, a lot different than Chicago, Houston, and Tennessee.
Yeah, and with that, we've got to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next time.